You are listening to an American Free Press podcast. Joining me on the line is Cindy Steele, the wife of Edgar Steele, the First Amendment attorney who's been locked up in jail in solitary confinement since June 11th of 2010. Cindy, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me again. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand up for my husband's innocence.
Well, thanks for taking the time out to do this broadcast. Now, this is an update of a broadcast we did, a rather long broadcast we did back in the middle of January. When we did that broadcast, some upcoming things that were supposed to happen was that Larry Fairfax, who was, of course, the fellow who your husband, Ed, is accused of hiring to plant a bomb on your car and to kill you and your mom, his sentencing hearing was supposed to be held on February 7th. And of course, that date came and went and nothing happened. Before we get into Larry Fairfax's sentencing hearing, I want you to explain how you were not notified about that sentencing hearing, because you have a right as a victim to have input into that sentencing hearing. But before we get into that, the first thing, and I want to go chronologically since we last spoke, the first thing that happened since we last spoke was that you had written an article to the local paper by you, which is called the Bonner County Bee, and they actually printed that article. Isn't that right?
Yes, they did. After a lot of pressing on them to print my side of the story, they finally agreed to print it. Unfortunately, at first it was too long for them, so I had to work on cutting it down to the appropriate word length. Mm-hmm. But they finally did print it. There was one aspect in there that they would not print it until I changed it.
What was that?
The fact I was talking about James Marr being an accomplice of Larry Fairfax, and they did not like that I was mentioning James Marr, and I had to either agree to take his name out or put alleged, despite the fact that the truth is that James Marr was part of putting the bomb on my car. They would not print it until I did that.
Now, I'm at the website BonnerCountyDailyBee.com, and I just went into the search box and I put your name in, Cindy Steele, C-Y-N-D-I, Steele, S-T-E-E-L-E. The headline is, Stories Have Ignored Important Facts in the Case. So, listeners, if you get a chance, go to BonnerCountyDailyBee.com, plug in Cindy's name in the search box, about 20 articles, but this one is Stories Have Ignored Important Facts in the Case. Larry Fairfax, we mentioned him in the previous broadcast. I mentioned him just a bit ago. He was scheduled to be sentenced on February 7th, and he was not. Now, can you explain to our listeners first how the government violated your right to have input about his sentencing, and why did they not have his sentencing hearing as scheduled on the 7th of this month of February?
The violation happened back in August, September, when they were offering Fairfax the plea deal for his testimony. And as a victim, I had the right to put input on how I felt about the plea deal being offered to them. And they didn't notify me. They didn't ask me for my input. I didn't get notice that there was going to be a plea deal until August 24th. I immediately called in and was strongly objecting to an 18-month plea deal, at which time Tracy Whalen wasn't available to even discuss it with me. That is when I got my attorney now, Wesley Hoyt, on board, and I filed affidavits. The judge did postpone the plea deal hearing until October to give me that opportunity to speak, but it was only at the plea deal. They would not listen to my complaints at all because the government had already actually signed the plea deal with Larry Fairfax on the 18th of August. So it was 6 days later that I was notified before, and they were to give me the right to speak against it before anything was even signed. Unfortunately, it went through even on October 7th, and then he was supposed to be sentenced on February 7th. Just prior to February 7th, the government filed a document that they wanted, a motion that they filed, to have Larry Fairfax's sentencing hearing moved until after he testified in my husband's case because they wanted him to testify with their anticipated testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want him getting sentenced because once he's sentenced, the government cannot back out of the plea deal. But if he doesn't testify in my husband's case the way they want and expect him to testify, they can pull that plea deal. That is my understanding of it. And so they're not going to sentence him until after he testifies. It's like they don't want him telling the truth. All I want is him to tell the truth. He now has an incentive to not tell the truth because it means how long he's going to spend in jail.
Right. We mentioned this before in the previous broadcast, but has your attorney looked into anything that could be done about the government not honoring your victim's rights?
My attorney has been helping me with that. I have filed complaints, but to date, they have basically been ignored.
It's very nice of them. Before we go any further, I just want to tell listeners, the website is free-edgar-steele, and of course that's Steele with an E at the end of it. So freeedgarsteele.com, free-edgar-steele.com. On that website, you can get a lot of information about this case, and most importantly, right now at least, you can donate for Edgar's legal fees because you got an attorney. Before, Ed was represented by the public defender. Now you have a new attorney. Isn't that true?
Yeah, the money that we have raised and money that I have been able to put towards that, we have got my husband some excellent counsel through a gentleman by the name of Robert McAllister out of Denver. Because he's out of Denver, we also had to bring on a good attorney out of Coeur d'Alene by the name of Gary Amendola.
Another matter that relates to this is that the government had taken your silver out of your home for some reason and confiscated it without any regard for whether or not you wanted to sell the silver. Of course, silver prices fluctuate. And they finally gave it back. Then you use that in the defense for Edgar, isn't that right?
Yes, I did. My attorney was able to help me get the court to give that back to me. I have taken it and I have put that towards my husband's defense because even though we've had generous donations, there was not enough money to bring on McAllister and we needed that to do that. It had to be done because he deserves a proper defense.
Right. The public defender wasn't doing anything. Now, McAllister, in order for him to do his job right, you had told me last time we spoke that it's projected that it's going to cost about $250,000. That includes bringing on the right witnesses. That includes scientific testing of the evidence. To date, yeah. How much have you collected?
Right now, we're at about $110,000.
You're shy by about $140,000. And are you trying to get this money before Ed's trial begins?
Well, we're running out of time. Every little bit I can get helps. I am in the process of working on getting things sold so I can put more money towards it. And I will have to sell things in order to come up with the money because my husband has to have proper defense. I'm going to do what it takes. I reluctantly asked for help. This is a fight for my husband, but it's also a fight for all of us because if this is allowed to happen, it's going to happen to more people. It has happened to people in the past. There are innocent people sitting in jail now because they have been railroaded. They're going to railroad my husband if we cannot put a stop to it, and they're going to continue to go after others.
If any of the listeners are interested in donating to help out Cindy and Ed, you can go to freeedgarsteele.com, free-edgar-steele with an E at the end.com, and right there at the top right corner it says donations/t-shirts. Let's go through a couple of more events that occurred since we last spoke. On February 9th, there was an article in the Spokesman Review, which is Spokesman, which is SPOKESMAN.com, Spokesman.com. Steele's lawyers hint at defense plan. What can you tell our listeners about that?
They have pulled information out of the motions that my husband's attorney has filed. And, of course, the news started hinting that my husband is going to plead out and cop out. And I'm here to tell you, he did not do it, and he is not pleading out. You know, my husband was weak at the time. My husband was on medication. It is what allowed Fairfax to take advantage of him and steal from us, because otherwise my husband wouldn't have been allowing Fairfax to take advantage of us. he is not pleading out because he did not do it.
So why do you think that this story was written? Who's behind it?
From day one of my husband's arrest, the local newspapers and the local television stations have done everything that they can to just smear my husband's name and make him look as guilty as possible. It appears that they keep being handed all the dirt, what they call dirt, on my husband and publish that. I have had to struggle in order to get my husband's side of the story out there. They don't do it with Fairfax. There were a few stories about him planting the bomb, and they're not outraged about Fairfax, who put the bomb on my car, who is the one that attempted to murder me, is the one that has been setting my husband up. They have not talked about his lying and the fact that the bomb that he put on my car didn't only put me at risk, but thousands of people.
Sounds like they're in cahoots with the government, the media there.
It definitely appears that way.
The next thing that happened, here's an article in the Bonner County Daily Bee, February 17th. Judge rejects Steele's $1 million bond request for husband. What happened with that?
McAllister had filed a bond motion to try to get my husband out on bond. And because I was able, with three other friends of Ed's and mine, to come up with enough to put up $1 million bond, I was going to put our place and everything I owned up for that, because getting him out on bond would enable him to help McAllister in defending himself. The hearing was set and we all showed up. I had to fly back from Oregon to be there, but it was important for me to be there because my husband should be out on bond. He is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. He's not guilty. He should be out on bond. He has never been a threat to anybody. My youngest daughter wanted to be there, so I flew her in. The attorney flew in. And the judge came in. She absolutely refused to even reopen the issue on the bond because she claimed that there was no new evidence and basically chastised me because I was not at the first bond hearing.
Tell our listeners why you were in Oregon.
I was in Oregon because my mom has been going through chemo. My mom was supposed to be in chemo the day of the hearing, but because she had ended up in the hospital a few days before that, because her white blood count went down, they actually moved it to the next day. And during this whole time, got my mom's house sold to get her down into a smaller place, and I was having to help get her moved. And that's why I've been in Oregon. I come back from Oregon because I've got the trial coming up and things I need to be working on. And, you know, it's hard because ever since I've been back, which has been barely a week, she's already been in and out of the hospital two times.
You're going through a lot now, Cindy. I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how I do it some days, but I have no choice. The alternative is unacceptable. My husband's going to be falsely put away if I don't do everything I can to stand up for him because I know he's innocent. And I've got to be there in Oregon as much as I can because my mom's health is failing.
The next thing that happened in the Bonner County Daily Bee, February 24th, Steele's lawyers ask for trial to be moved. If you feel okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you can explain what happened with that.
Because his attorney, with all the negative publicity that has been going on in this area and how they keep throwing the accusations because he's such a bad guy because he represented the Aryan Nations, he felt that my husband cannot get a proper, fair trial because there will be so many people that have read the news, listened to the news stories that have virtually already convicted him. But the judge has denied it, doesn't believe that that is the case, and is set on it going forth on March 7th.
The next thing that happened was Larry Fairfax was relocated to an undisclosed location. Why do you think they did that?
We don't know and have not been told. They decided to move my husband to Bonner County, where Fairfax was being held. The reason that was given why Ed was in the Spokane County Jail was because Fairfax was at Bonner County Jail and they were not going to hold them in the same jail. Why they have decided to move Fairfax and move my husband, I don't know, but this has happened at the same time that we get new attorneys on. This now is going to cost me more money. He's closer to home, so it makes the traveling time easier for me when I do get to see him. But in the long run, it's going to cost me more money, and it puts him farther out of reach from his attorneys. McAllister already has to fly in from Denver, and that was our choice because he's an excellent attorney. We believe he's going to do right by Ed. He is here to 100% stand up for Ed. But now, besides having to fly in, which we knew we were accepting, every time he goes to see Ed, it's a three-hour trip out of his time.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost of, and now that we are taking on the expense, that is going to cost me more. It was convenient for the public defender as long as he was in Spokane, because basically he could walk to the jail from his office.
When they first arrested your husband, the motive that they claimed was present was that he had taken out a life insurance policy, and the idea was that Fairfax would kill you and he'd get the life insurance. When it was discovered by the geniuses, you know, I shouldn't even say geniuses because what they're doing is not right. Geniuses kind of makes light of it. I don't want to do that. When it was discovered by these people, unfortunately, who are in a position of power in government, that the life insurance motive did not exist because the life insurance wasn't in force because it canceled it a few years earlier because the kids were grown up. You had the life insurance for when the kids were young. Did they switch to another motive?
Well, they were sort of adding them all together all at once, and then they came back and said, oh, yeah, well, there is no life insurance. And then the other motive was that Ed had an investigator following me and that he had pictures. I have to say that when they first said he had pictures, if it wasn't such a serious situation, I would have laughed at that because I knew that there were no pictures to be had. I knew that Ed wasn't having me followed. And then they finally did come around and they said, oh, well, I guess there wasn't no investigator and there are no pictures. Well, duh, I knew that.
What were the pictures of? You and a boyfriend?
Apparently, that's what they were trying to claim, that they had pictures of me with a boyfriend. Well, no. You know, when I was being questioned, they kept pushing that. Do you have a boyfriend? No, I never have. I have been 100% faithful to my husband for almost 26 years now. To have them accuse me of that was rather insulting. They were making up stories to try to come up with a motive for my husband. So when they finally admitted that there was no investigator and no pictures to be had and that I didn't have a boyfriend, then they moved on to the next motive, which is that my husband was seeking out a girl from the Ukraine. And what they are using to prove this is a case that my husband had started working on in late 2008 or early 2009. Of bringing down Russian bride scam for a client that had been scammed out of thousands of dollars. And he was investigating it. I knew all about it. It was not him seeking a girlfriend. It was him looking into it. Because it had ramifications. This was something my husband let me in on. I've also worked as his legal secretary over the years. And he was letting me know about it. He was showing me what he was doing, and he was setting himself up as a prospect for many of these Ukrainian girls to figure out how they were pulling off the scam in order to get money out of Americans. They would say, oh, send me $5,000 and I will fly over and I will marry you. You are the one for me. And then when the poor person falls for this and believes in it, sends the $5,000 and goes to the airport and waits for his new Russian bride to get off the airport, there is no Russian bride there because that girl or whoever it is on the other side, since you don't know, I mean, it could be a man for all they know, is sitting there back in the Ukraine spending the money that they got from the Americans.
Right, they even made a movie about that.
my husband was talking about with what he was discovering that there was a book to write on this scam because it was so big that most people, I mean, they wouldn't believe how widespread this scam is.
First, the motive was the life insurance. When that didn't pan out for the government, then it was that you had a boyfriend. Now it's because Ed has a Ukrainian girlfriend or he wants a Ukrainian girlfriend. That's the motive. What's happening this Thursday in reference to this whole Ukrainian girlfriend motive nonsense?
They apparently have found one of the girls that he was communicating with, and they're interviewing her or deposing her, in the legal terms, via video conference. The government originally wanted to have us pay for them to actually go to the Ukraine to depose her.
So they are video conferencing a prostitute from the Ukraine?
Yep.
So their case has now been reduced to a video conference with someone who may or may not be who they're claiming the person to be.
Correct. And the thing is Ed was setting this girl up to see how she would respond and how much money she was going to try to get out of a person. It's not as if she's going to be back there knowing, oh, yes, I knew I was just being set up. And is she going to admit that she's scamming people? I don't think so. The sad thing is I wasn't able to get the money together to get McAllister on soon enough because he's under a time crunch to get everything done in order to present the evidence that will prove my husband innocent.
Now, let me just again let the listeners know how you can help out Cindy and Ed Steele. You can go to freeedgarsteele.com. That's free-edgar-steele.com. Of course, Steele has an E at the end of it. And on that website, you can see to the right a button that says donations/t-shirts. You click on that and you can donate some money. And Cindy, you said in our last broadcast that some folks give you a couple of dollars a month because that's all they could afford. Some folks give a little more. Is that right?
We've had donations as small as $2. We've had donations up to $1,000. I know that there are people out there struggling like so many of us in this economy, and every dollar does add up. I appreciate every penny. And it's a mental support, too, for me to keep going because this is the most difficult situation that I have ever been put in my life. And I've got to stand up because I'm fighting for the truth against a government.
An interested third party in this whole case has been an organization known as the Southern Poverty Law Center. Listeners can access at splcenter.org. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center, one of the things they do is they're kind enough to classify individuals and groups into different hate categories. They have their own hate map on their website. And something happened recently where I know your husband had obviously been on the Southern Poverty Law Center's website and on their radar screens for a while, since at least the early 2000s, when he wrote an article entitled, "It's the Jews Stupid." And of course, after the time that he represented the fella in the, and he didn't even represent the Aryan Nations, he just represented the founder of the Aryan Nations, but they had him on their radar since that time. But now it seems like the website, the movement, Free Edgar Steele, is now on the website. Is that right?
That's right. We have been added as a hate group on their website because the Edgar Steele Defense Fund and I are standing up for truth and justice to see that my husband gets acquitted, and we have now been put on their hate list.
That's nice of them. You're actually listed as the Free Edgar Steele movement or website is listed as a white nationalist group. I don't know how they come up with that. And there isn't much time now to help out if you thought in the past you might want to help out Cindy and Ed on a human level, or if your interest is more First Amendment. Whatever the case may be, now's the time to pull the trigger. The trial is going to begin on March 7th, just about a week away. And as you've heard from this broadcast and primarily from the previous broadcast, which is on American Free Press's website right on the homepage, and I suggest that if you haven't heard that you go and listen to it. The government doesn't have much of a case, but they don't like Ed because he represented the founder of the Aryan Nations. So they obviously have it in for him. You could see that by the way that they changed the motives from life insurance to Cindy having a boyfriend to Ed having a girlfriend. And now they're even going to the extreme length of video conferencing a Ukrainian prostitute to testify in this trial because it seems like they're desperate. Of course, it would be great if they just gave up, but doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Cindy and Ed need your help. Go to freeedgarsteele.com, free-edgar-steele.com. Click on the donation/t-shirt tab and do whatever you can. $1, $5, $10, $100, $1,000, $100,000. This is for Ed. This is for Cindy. Again, listeners, free-edgar-steele.com. Please, if this is something that you thought you wanted to do in the past or you'd like to do now, Cindy and Ed could really use your help now. This is not just about Ed and Cindy and their family and the repercussions that will be felt, but it's also about the First Amendment. It's also about the government doing something that they shouldn't be doing. It's about the government trying to build a case out of nothing just to get even with somebody. Cindy, I'll let you close here.
I want to thank all the supporters that have been helping and supporting. It is what has helped us to get a proper defense on. And if there are people out there that can still help, I thank you from the bottom of my heart because I am standing and fighting as hard as I can to free my husband, who is innocent, and to see that we all put a stop to the injustice being done because they're not going to stop unless we do.
I'll be thinking about you. I know a lot of people are thinking about you. On March 7th, Monday, the trial.
I really appreciate that, and I know that there's a lot of people out there behind me, and it does help.
Thanks again, Cindy.
Thank you.